Episode 323 of the podcast. Today's episode needs no explaining. You're just going to have to listen to it. It's Pete and Kim. You've heard us reference them many a time on the 322 previous episodes. They feed the team. They've been catering to Iowa football and other Iowa sports. You'll hear about that since 2015. And you're going to get a look under the hood of why they are so great at what they do. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Watch the Walk-Ons fans, episode 323 of the podcast. And today we are very, very fortunate to have Iowa football legends, Iowa football people in Iowa football lore who are a huge determining factor of the Hawks' success, because we've talked on this podcast a million times about how important nutrition is. And these two people on our podcast right now are at the forefront of sports nutrition and are pretty much a consensus favorite of every Hawkeye player who's come through the program since 2015. So Pete and Kim Harmon, welcome to our podcast, and we thank you very much for joining us on this lovely Sunday evening.
It's an honor.
It is. It is absolutely an honor to be here with you three amazing human beings.
Yes.
It really is. You know what? We started out, we sat in our living room here. Remember that? Drake, Tyler, you weren't here that day.
I was not here.
And I remember
talking about LLCs.
Yeah. I remember thinking, yes. Man, I don't know. How long can that go? I mean, where are they going to go with this thing? And look at it. It's amazing what you guys have done. I mean, it's
skyrocketed. Just,
you guys.
Well, we thought the same thing, to be fair.
Well, no, I mean, that's what everybody thinks. You know, that's what everybody thinks. We all doubt ourselves. We're our own worst critics. So bad. It's unbelievable, right?
It's absolutely true.
I wasn't sure we were going to, like, make it when we went to our first football. I was so nervous. Like,
So talk about that.
They don't like us.
All right. The first one we ever did would be this upcoming Tuesday. So it's the first real, I guess everybody comes back on Monday. So we finally got Tuesday night, and we did lips the first night. And Kim was just saying, you know, that everybody's going through the line taking five lips, you know, telling them
all. Five pieces of chicken.
I did for sure. Like, sounds about right. Yeah.
And I like look down, he's carving. I don't even know what you carved.
Had to be some kind of roast beef
or something. And I was looking down and going, God, we're going to run out of food. He's like, no, just be calm. It'll be okay.
Well, it's funny because we look back at our first one. You know, I mean, you guys can relate to this, because remember the first time you ever went to practice, like, oh my God, there's no way I can play with these guys. You know, what are we even doing here?
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, I mean, my background is big resort hotels. So I know how to cook. And my rule one is never run out of food. Never, ever, ever run out of food. And
and we never.
But you never fed a bunch of farm animals.
Yeah. Well, no, it's I always tell people it's 175 guys that eat like 375 guys. The first night so here's how it started. The meal was supposed to start at 4:30, and it was about 4:33, and there's about 10 guys in line, and Alaric Jackson's the first one, or Cedric Lattimore, I can't remember which one it was, and they just, I said, hey, we'll be ready in a minute. And he goes, coach says we eat at 4:30. And he just went right through the line, man. And we had like, you know, 80% of the stuff out
there. That was their freshman year. Babies. They're babies that year.
AJ, welcome to feeding the Hawkeyes.
AJ said, fuck it, I'm grabbing food.
and now that, you know, see, when you don't know the culture and you don't know the attitude, it's different. I mean, see, we started doing basketball. So we fed the men's basketball team in the wintertime. So we do November, December, January, a little bit of February, and maybe March if we're lucky. And so that's 25 people. And then we were doing them a couple times a week. And then the women's basketball team, this is a cool story. So Lisa Bluter is I'll tell you what, of all the coaches, I don't think any coach outworks her. You know, we would go into Carver at 6 o'clock in the morning, her lights on. We'd be leaving there at 10 o'clock at night, her lights on. She's in there.
It's that way at football too.
And oh, for sure. But, yeah. But so she, this girl, Talia, said, hey, we can probably get you in for basketball. Because Lisa's a little pissed off at IMU because they forgot brown sugar for her oatmeal before pregame. Okay. And so the second time she did, they did that.
I mean, that really is like an egregious error. If you forget the brown sugar for the oatmeal, you honestly deserve fired.
Well, no, I mean, think about it. Your name is Lisa Bluter. You're a hard ass. You're a real serious human being. And that's your pregame thing. I eat oatmeal and I put brown sugar in it. And if I don't have that, I'm a little pissed off and I'm a little bit off my game. And it goes all the way through. You know that. And so so that's how we got ladies basketball. Then we got volleyball. And then that season ended and the baseball team called us. Because I figured, Grace, that little kitchen's 500 square feet. We could never feed the football team. There's no way. And so the baseball team called us. And then we started doing them every Thursday or every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And at that time, the Pet Mall was deserted in the wintertime. And so, you know, nobody came downtown. So we'd be sucking wind, praying to get to Valentine's Day and not go out of business every year. And so when we picked up baseball, that was a coup. You know, it was like, it was a great deal because it was 50 guys. And then we started thinking, you know what, maybe we could do football. And I started sending Fed a letter about sometime in August. Hey, what do you think about, you know, letting us do it?
And this is August of 2014.
2015. This would be August of 2015. And so you guys went on the undefeated season then.
Yeah, you guys were there for our undefeated season.
No, we didn't start until 2016.
Mm-hmm. You guys were on. I thought for sure you were there in 2015.
We missed it. Yeah. So, but I just pounded Fed with stuff.
Yeah, poor Fed. He got a letter every day in the mail.
I heard they get lobster tails after every win. God. You know what they really want? They want lips. And I just kept sending them stuff about lips and lips and lips. And little do I know, oh no, not allowed to eat fried food. That is the forbidden fruit.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
We didn't know, you know, and I'm sure he thought, well, all these guys are going to do is feed them chicken lips. They didn't know we could cook.
It's a bullshit. You know? That's a bullshit rule, by the way, because every Friday night before a game, I had a quadruple scoop hot fudge sundae at the hotel. So it's like, I mean, what are we talking about? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It's, you know what it is? It's trying to, it's the slight edge. Okay. Yeah. It is. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was, you know, like every time you guys read a book, I read that book, you know, because I want to be in on the I want to be in, I want to be part of the team. I want to know what's going on.
For everyone listening. That's how all in Pete and Kim are. He read the books that the team. You go on.
Right. You got to do that.
Yeah. KF would give him the book. Hey Pete, here's the book.
Yeah.
What about the offseason where we broke up into the 8 teams and then each team got their own book? Did you read all 8 books?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so, but I'm going to find out what they were and I'm going to read them all. Okay. No, it's like, but you know what? I tell you what.
It's cool to be part of your mindset, know how you feel.
I used to be this good. And after starting to hang around with the football team, man, I'll tell you what, my life completely changed.
Yeah.
I told Kim, we feed the football team once a week. It'll change our life. And now we're, you know, we moved up to feeding them 4 times a week. We fed the team this year on Christmas Day 3 times.
All
the time. We also feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh,
during COVID. During COVID.
They got 3 meals of us.
During COVID, we couldn't feed we fed the team, but we put it in those aluminum pans. We pull up to the back door.
Yeah.
Okay.
And poor managers had to be me.
Yeah.
And they had to light the
trying to figure that out. It was a disaster.
Yeah, but hard.
So we went all the way to Christmas. Okay. And then Ben called and said, hey, we're going to have you guys feed the team on Christmas, but we're not going to do it at the facility. And so I said, so Kim hadn't seen anybody.
They had that little COVID outbreak. So he said, you could have a Christmas, best Christmas gift you could ever have in your life. What would it be? And I was like, get rid of this COVID. And he goes, okay, yeah. But what's the second one? And I was like, I don't know. And he goes, you want to feed the team? And I was like,
yeah.
Yes.
In person.
Yes. In person?
Yeah.
At Gray's. Yes.
So I mean, I
made my Christmas.
100%. It's the best.
It made all the players ever. Christmas too, for sure.
Before we get back to the show, let's take a quick minute to shout out the boys at DRF. And They've been doing it big for us all year long in the year of 2022, coming through with the sponsorship. And it's because they're the right people to go to, the local spot, if you want the best sports betting. And they're sending all parlays to the moon. Start cashing in with DRF Sportsbook's 22% profit boost for all MLB, NBA, or NHL parlays. The MLB season is here, and the NBA playoffs and Stanley Cup playoffs are winding down. So to celebrate, DRF Sportsbook wants to boost your profits. Head on over to DRF Sportsbook now to start betting and making some green.
It's the best thing we ever get to do, because as a chef, you want two things, okay? When I was a kid, my junior year in high school, I started going to culinary arts school. And I had enough credits to graduate from high school halfway through my junior year, but I wanted to stay and play baseball. So I went to this culinary school when it counted toward my schooling. And the two things you learn quick is you get instant feedback. So I get an ego burst. It's dopamine. Oh, hey, that was really good, man. That really tasted good. But yeah. The second thing that keeps me in the game is the appreciation. Oh my God, this is great. Thank you. And when you're talking about guys who got to eat 6,000, 8,000 calories a day, that's hard. Yeah. It's the only place I've ever been in my life where you could weigh 296 pounds and be in trouble during camp. And you got to go to Breakfast Club and your name is, Jesus.
No, it's not Jesus.
No.
we wish we had him on our sponsor. We do.
But no, you make a good point.
Kim, that was
a great point. When eating is a chore, it's got to make it that much harder on the people feeding them to find something that they want to keep eating. Like when you've eaten your third meal, you got two more to go.
Fast. That's right. Like, we have to keep changing it up because you don't want to eat the same thing every day.
Right. But what happens is we find the sweet button, you know, and the name I'm looking for is James Daniels. So James Daniels only weighs 296 pounds. He's supposed to weigh 300 and he's in deep crap because he's underweight. And Mark Weissman's standing there watching him eat, you know, and Noah had to go to, he had to go to Breakfast Club all the time because he wouldn't eat. He didn't like to eat in the morning. And that's a fun story because it was the first time that Kim ever got to walk a plate through with a guy on crutches. Remember that?
That was the first day we fed them. And it was Noah Fant. He said, I said, what'd you do? And he goes, I went up for a catch pass, came down on my ankle wrong. I said, did you catch it? And he goes, yeah. And I go, that's what.
There you go.
That's all that matters.
Walking into that facility, I told Pete, makes you a better person. It is rarefied air in there.
Yeah,
it's, found all you guys, dedicated, loyal, hardworking. You got school. Like, there's no other humans like you guys.
We've tried to.
Your person being around you.
Yeah, we've tried to explain it on the show before. Yeah. It's an
incredible thing.
The environment, because everybody's effort and performance is demanded at such a high level.
Yeah.
And just nothing less is accepted.
When everyone's striving to be great, it makes you want to be great.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. The only reason we're able to do what we did was because it was from everybody from the top down. Like, it was preached from the top and everybody was held to the exact same standard. Like, we all performed several levels above the standard that we could hold for ourselves.
That's what we did. So many football.
It is interesting to hear coming from your guys' perspective that that you guys felt that. That's interesting.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'll tell you what, it permeated Grays. It completely changed the way that we approach everything. And I'll tell you why. Because in the restaurant business, you always have people who don't want to be there. Okay. So you got, let's pick on waiters and waitresses. Okay. It's one of my favorite groups of people to pick on because they're not in it they're just there to earn tips. They don't care. Oh, hey, the wind's blowing. I don't want to go in. I'll call in sick. So they have no buy-in. Okay. You know, and there's a story you guys probably all heard. It's, you know, what's the difference between pigs and chickens? Okay. So it's like, who gave more to the breakfast meal, the pig or the chicken? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is the pig, because he had to die to make ham. The chicken just gave an egg. Yeah, okay. I know it's a baby, but it's still, we make
the
egg.
The chicken's invested. The pig is committed.
Exactly. And yes. So I grew up playing sports. Kim actually played high school basketball with George Kittle's mom.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's she's a beast.
No, I'm not a beast.
But she's also a farm girl, okay?
And so, hey, Kim, we have a connection that goes really far back then because my uncle dated Hank's mom. And
oh, really?
You played with George's mom. So yeah, there's a little connection.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember the first time I went, you know, after I went in there a while and felt comfortable talking to Kirk, I said, oh, God, guys are so appreciative. They all say thank you. They're so polite and they're so appreciative. And he goes, they better be. Oh, I thought he was going to go, oh, great. That's great to hear. Nope. He said, they better be.
You know what?
I do want to say thank you for going up and saying that to KF because he truly does appreciate that.
He loves that.
He always talks about in team meetings about when staff from like hotels that when we travel or like the airplane staff or especially the people who cater our meals, when they make it a point to say something to him, he really does pride himself on that because he really preaches citizenship and being good citizens.
And you all are like that.
We feed all the teams.
Every single time.
We feed all the teams. And by a mile, the football team is the most gracious and thankful.
And appreciative.
And I mean, some of the guys some of the guys are just amazing over the top. And, but it isn't fake. It's real.
Well, I'm going to put that back on your plate because, you know, obviously we had several different restaurants in town feeding us.
Sure.
You guys were the only ones, and it was like pretty much all your staff, everyone learned the entire team's name. Kim was calling me by name like a week in.
That was my goal before we started.
What's that, Drake?
You had a binder of names, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we studied.
Yeah.
We studied.
I remember.
No, but that's just like, that is so far going above and beyond. It's like.
I wanted to make you guys feel special. That's,
and it did. It was really special. And
hospitality. Yeah.
I felt special, no doubt, because when Kim called me Kluver, the first day we ate, dude, the first day. And I was like,
I know some of the guys, when I would like do that now, they're like,
no, Kim, I swear to God, I thought the long,
who is this girl?
I thought the long snapper had gained importance in the sport because, and people knew my name because I was like, wow, how did she know my name? Like, what is going on here? And it turns out that you guys are just like Kevin said, by far and away, the most bought in to creating a true connection between your company.
You're my boys.
I know. You guys.
The other thing that made you guys stand out the most is that everybody else who was serving us was just serving us food. Like they were just collecting their money and putting out their catering and boom, it's done. I'll see you next week. You guys were like trying to impress us and trying to make each meal special. And like, it was actually, you guys were putting forth the effort that we wished everybody else would have when it came to catering.
Well, because we bought in, you know, it's like, you know, we're both, when we were kids, we were athletes and she grew up on a farm. And you know, when you grow up on a farm, I learned this from Kim, dad's always at work. Okay. Mm-hmm. So my dad, when my kids were little, I went to work and I came home and it was playtime. You know, my dad, when he came home, he didn't have his game face on. Her dad always had his game face on because, you know, they're on a farm. And, you know, he's pissed off because one of the pigs did something they weren't supposed to do. But the thing is that we, when we start hanging around with athletes, those are our people. We understand that. But it isn't because they're athletes. It's because they're driven 1% better every day. People like us do things like this. This is the way we do it. We're here to win. We're here to kick ass and do our best. And when somebody respects you and appreciates you, you give them your absolute best. The thing about the people in the restaurant business is here's a trick for anybody who's watching this. If you want to get the best service you could possibly get in a restaurant, walk in and say something nice to the host and nice to the waiter right out of the gate. And because we're wired, we have the hospitality gene, which means we're lovers. We value
or givers,
love and hospitality above money, which which, you know, for a lot of people, that sounds really strange, but to us, that's how we're wired. And the thing is, if you do that with a waiter in a restaurant or any customer service person, you give them an ounce of love, they're going to, they'll be bringing you stuff from the freezer all night long going, oh my God, this guy was nice to me. And they're going to give you everything they have. And that's the funny thing, because that's what happens in that building. Every single person is there to do their absolute best. I want to tell you a fun story. Last year, Max Cooper was in Wisconsin and he dropped that punt. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
Shoulder pads and he dropped it.
Sure do.
I saw him the next day on Sunday and I know he got, I said, Max, I want to tell you something. I still love you, man. I'm so sorry that that happened to you, but you know what?
You're still my hero, buddy.
Yeah. And his mother, we saw her the next Saturday and she was telling me what Max said to her. And she's standing there on a street corner and she's got tears running down her face. I mean, we get to see the guys when their hearts are broken, when they're blow out a knee, when Ike blew out his Achilles.
When Drake got his bone sticking out of his foot and he's like yelling, the worst, screaming, let's go Hawks in the cart.
It's the worst day of their lives, you know? And then we get to be there to say, hey, you know what? I feel your pain, man.
Well, we're not really coaches, so we get to give you a little love that you don't always get.
I'm glad.
little mom stuff on the side.
I'm glad, Pete.
You used to give us hugs. Like, those are the things we needed in that facility.
I don't know if that's really important.
You just got your ass chewed. You just got your ass kicked. You just got knocked out in practice. You know, hey, eat this. It's really good for you. It's like chimichurri. Does anybody know what chimichurri is in this
group? Oh, I love me some chimichurri.
Okay, you know what it is?
You're the ones that taught me what chimichurri is. Go ahead, tell the fans.
It's the Latin American cousin of pesto. It's the Latin American cousin of pesto. It's basil, fresh parsley, and mint, and olive oil and garlic, and it's pureed together, and it goes on any kind of roast meat, whether it's pork or beef or turkey or chicken or anything. You put it on your eggs, you put it on your fish. You know what I like to tell you? I like to just tell the people just a little bit about how much food we cook for a meal.
Please.
Sound good? Yeah, we wanted to get into this.
Well, you haven't got a word in edgewise, so.
No.
If the numbers.
If every guest could be like you two, I would, God, my job would be so much easier.
Okay, so here's breakfast. All right, breakfast is like 50 pounds of New York strip steaks. Okay.
Hell yeah.
And so what we do is we cut like a 1-inch thick steak, but we cut those in half when we grill them because it's breakfast. All right. Then you got about 120 pounds of bacon. And then you probably got about 40 pounds of pork sausage. And then you have 700 scrambled eggs.
Oh my.
Scrambled eggs. Okay. And then you got, we do two kinds of potatoes for breakfast and they're both Kim's family recipe. So Kim's hash browns, and we do tater tot casserole. And I'm telling
you, those hash browns were wild.
They are. They're wild. And so a lot of our recipes that we feed the team come from Kim's family, but I'm going to come back to that. I want to finish the menu first. All right. So then I make 400 pancakes. Okay. 400.
And I hate
them. And these are 400 blueberry pancakes to order.
Yeah,
he's making them in front of us on the griddle.
Yeah.
Because I always thought if we ever lose Grace, I'll just get him a job at IHOP.
She is. She's going to pimp me out to IHOP.
And I'll go, hey, and I will, whatever IHOP you work at, I'll be there.
I got to pause you there real quick, Pete.
You need a commercial?
No. Just you going through the menu is taking me through a memory lane
back
right now is
it's
that
right.
My mouth is watering just thinking about walking through the Grays training.
How about this one? Shit on a shingle. Remember
I love me shit on a shingle. Yes.
Hey, we're doing Bo Bauer's wedding in a year, June.
Rip.
And he tells Rachel, his fiance, oh, I have you know what we could get for our wedding because we're doing his wedding? Yeah. Bo goes, shit on a shingle. Yeah. And Rachel goes,
I love the story behind it too. Go ahead and tell the story behind shit on
a shingle. And she's in the army. They don't eat shit on a shingle anymore.
She didn't know what it was.
So here's the cool thing about so shit on a shingle is called chipped beef on toast. Okay. So imagine you dehydrate beef, you slice it paper thin, and then you put it in a can. All right. Now they vacuum seal it, but in the old days they canned it. And shit on a shingle is the dish that won World War II by a mile because We out-distributed the enemy. We were the only people who had bullets, guns, shoes, coats, and food. And so if you're on a boat in 1944 or 45 in the Pacific Ocean, you're eating shit on a shingle. And so it's cream chipped beef, and they just put it on toasted bread. And so, but it was easy to do. And what's interesting about that is that our son, Evan is one of the best cooks. So all the food behind us, it's Evan. I mean, at first it was Evan and Michael, and then it was Evan and somebody else, and then it was Evan and somebody else, and now it's Evan and Alex. And so those guys are the ones who are really the stars. I mean, they come in and they just grind that stuff out, and we come in and just do the fun part.
Yeah.
But it's not 100% true. I mean, football is a big, big, big deal. I mean, it takes us 2 days to do a meal. And so
I'm sure. Just these numbers you guys are tossing out, it has to be.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing about shit on a shingle is that the Army and the Navy eat it sliced beef like we've made for you. But the Marines, they grind the meat. And so why would they do that? Well, because if they land on Okinawa, they're not using beef. They're going to use, what do they got? Well, we got an alligator over there. We got some awesome. I think that's a goat. Let's just grind all that up and we'll put it in there. And so they always eat ground. Because so they're not surprised. You know, if it's always like the stuff you got,
Yeah. You could tell like shaved alligator versus shaved beef, but it's ground up. I don't know, man.
I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever eaten alligator?
I have, well, actually.
We fed you guys alligator when you played Miami.
Yeah, when we played the Gators. Florida. Right before the Gators.
Then we got fed to the Gators.
Hey, you got that picture of Floyd?
I do. I'm trying to – my phone was not loading the pictures, but I'm trying to get those to my email so I could pull them up.
I can email it to you.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Hey, what was your guys' favorite meal to feed the team, or what is your guys' favorite meal to feed the team? Because you have the Thanksgiving meal. You have the Christmas meal. You have all of the pregame and postgame meals. So, like, there's just so many cool ones.
I'll tell you, one of our favorite things is Mary's Flank Steak. Do you remember that one?
Oh, like, how could we forget it?
Did you, and I'm going to do a shout out to Mary. This is her last LFA, Ladies Football Academy Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we learned to cook it's not Mary's Flank Steak. It's Elsie May, which is Kirk's mother's recipe.
Oh, really?
That's the flank steak recipe. It's actually Elsie May's with that mushroom rice. And we went to Mary's house and she made it for us. She said, this is what I would like to feed the LFA guys that volunteer to do LFA. Did you guys do that? Did you guys volunteer?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yep. That's the first year that we did the Mary's Flank Steak and the rice. And then she makes those Rice Krispie ice cream sandwich things.
Remember those? Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good. So they're chocolate rice. They're chocolate, like, what do you call them? Chocolate rice.
It's chocolate rice.
Cocoa Krispies and peanut butter and Karo syrup. And you make like a little bar out of it. And you put the ice cream in the middle of it.
They're the bomb.
That hardly fits in my diet anymore.
Right now.
Yeah. They're the bomb.
So here's the interesting story about that. One day, Kirk's brother, John, is there for a game. And it's a Friday. And it's lunch. And so John and Kirk are going through the line, and it just happened to be Mary's Flank Steak.
Not Mary's, Elsie May's.
Oh, yeah, but we call it Mary's Flank Steak because
it's Evan can't remember.
Kirk and John Ference's mother's recipe for flank steak and rice. And John goes through, he goes, I can't believe you have this. And he's kind of, we'll see. And he goes back, he sits down, him and Kirk eat lunch. 15 minutes later, Kirk Ference's brother, John, comes up to me. He says, I can't believe it. I was 10 years old sitting at my mother's table talking to my brother just a minute ago.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, if that doesn't hit you in the feels, I don't know what does.
Yeah. That's what we get off on.
That's more than just cooking food. See, like the other people don't have those stories though. Yep. Like not the shit on
bread. It's like him saying, oh my God, talking about breakfast. It brings me back. Yeah. Brings you back a little.
And it's, I mean, I don't want to downplay this. You guys are going to say no, but Kevin, Drake, and I will all echo and continue to that. There's also just like an it factor to you two that brings this all together. Like there is something special about you guys. I'm curious how back when you started, because Gray's has gone through a progression. You guys were down by the Ped Mall and then at some point it seemed like it was like you guys were our private, basically our private
right
chefs. And, yeah. And then like, and then you moved locations. And so like, take us through how you were managing that and the restaurant at the same time. And then when did it become more about catering?
Yeah. Now you're feeding all these teams and yeah.
All right. So that's a good story. So I'm going to rip through it as fast as I can.
Yeah. Just go quick. I'm just curious.
All right. So 2014, we started feeding basketball, then women's basketball, then volleyball. 2015, we added baseball to that. 2016, okay. We picked up football. Yeah. Okay. So now 2016, 2017, 2018, we're doing all the teams and running the restaurant at the same time.
That's nuts.
It was chaos.
How in the world can you possibly run a restaurant
out of a 500 square foot kitchen, Drake?
Yeah. Okay. Question. Who were your suppliers that you are just like, they're just like got to be walking cows and chickens and pigs into your restaurant?
So we buy our groceries from a company called TPC, but a lot of times we got to go to Costco to buy smaller packages. But like, I'll tell you what, here's like stouts, you know, the guys that do the watermelon and the cantaloupe and all that in the summertime, and they do the corn. We go to them as often as we can because that watermelon is just insane during July and August. So we try to do that. So, but here's an interesting thing you don't know. In from January until July of 2018, in addition to running the restaurant and feeding all those teams, when the Sheraton closed down and turned into the Graduate, well, they moved all their catering over to Hotel Vetro. Their sales guy is a guy named Paul Ritchie, who was the director of sales at Sundial Beach and Tennis Resort in 1987 when I was the executive chef there.
Okay.
Wow. So we connected and he goes, hey, listen.
Sundial down in Sanibel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sanibel Island?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Sundial's gone to shit since you guys left, Pete.
Yeah, I know. So my background is 20 years in resort hotels. I was the executive chef of a company thing. Called the South Seas Plantation Group. So South Seas, Casabel, all those resorts down there. We had 14 resorts and I was the executive chef of all the really cool new projects. So I that's my background. And that's why I know how to cook.
Yeah. So on top of all that, the guy goes, okay, we have all these weddings and we don't have anyone to cook.
So you did weddings too?
We did weddings at the same time.
We did weddings. Yeah. We live above Hotel
Bay. Did you guys sleep at all?
No, we did. We went from doing $0 in catering in 2014 to do $1 million. In 2018.
Oh, my.
Okay. All right. And just that's out the back door. Okay. And then in 2019, they closed the Ped Mall in front of us. Mm-hmm. We couldn't even get to us. And we knew that was coming. So that's what one of the reasons why we started getting in all the catering.
Okay.
Then 2020, we had COVID. Yep. And then in January 2021, we got evicted because they knocked the building down and they built that 11-story apartment building.
Yeah.
And so then we moved down the street to where we are now. And so we think it's going to be called Gray's Catering, but we started making. So Kim and Evan and I have been thrashing for a year.
Thrashing.
Okay.
AKA arguing.
And fighting and pissing and moaning and bitching and just throwing shit at each other for a year. What are we going to be when we grow up? And you got to remember that the restaurant business in the entire world is never going to go back to 2019.
Yeah.
We can't go back there. It isn't there.
The restaurant industry got completely destroyed. It's like 70% of restaurants in Los Angeles, California are completely gone to never reopen.
Well, and the thing that people don't understand, when I was a kid, 90% of the time when you went into a restaurant and you sat down, a waitress came over and said, hi, what can I get for you? And only 10% of the time, it was like fast food. Okay. By 2025, it's going to be 1090. Only 10% of the restaurants in the world are going to have a waiter. Every other one, the servers and the order takers will be replaced by an iPad, a kiosk, or now your phone. I mean, you know how you order off your phone for takeout, right? Well, you're going to just do that at a table, go boop, QR code, there it is. And that's why I see the future. It's gourmet to go. And we don't know what we're going to be called. We're playing around with this great idea called Lip City Pizza. And think about it.
Kevin, you've had it.
Oh, yeah. We can't. Me and my brother and my mom, we went up there on guys opening day.
Kluv, you're up on the Lip City Pizza.
I tell you what, we're going to do take and bakes. I'm going to try to send one to you. Okay. I'm going to get one to Des Moines. You can put it in your oven and cook it in your house, and it'll come out about 95% as good as ours.
You can send one to Drake.
Yeah. And same thing with you. I bet I can mail it to you. I'm going to use you guys as guinea pigs. But here's the thing.
Oh, yes.
It could be an
effort. No, it won't be an effort. Yeah, we're going to play with it until we get it right. But we're going to do every pizza place you think about, they got good pizza, but shitty everything else. Right?
Yeah.
What do we got? We got lips. Pizza and lips? How do you mess with that?
God, that's a fire combination.
Right? It is.
Pete, you wake up every day and your mind's going, huh?
Well, it is because, you know, we also got a restaurant in Burlington. It's called Martini's Grill. And some of your audience know Martini's. Martini's is a 16,000 square foot restaurant that sits high above the bluff right on the Mississippi River. It's in the old Mercy Hospital. It was built in 1927. I built it with Randy Weingarten in 2004. Okay. And Randy is one of the biggest Hawkeye supporters ever. When you guys run out on the field, you
shout go out Randy.
Weingard Tunnel. Okay. And Randy and Kirk are really good friends. And in fact, Randy and Kirk had dinner with us here the first year we started feeding you guys. And so, you know, it's Martini's is an amazing restaurant. It goes back and forth between 801 Grand in Des Moines. And, you know, that steakhouse downtown, Tyler?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going there next week for my anniversary.
All right. So Martini's and you should
go to Martini's sometime.
Yeah. But Martini's and 801 Grand on Open Table, which is the reservation platform. We go back and forth between who's number one in Iowa. But so anyway, we go all in. And so our pizza, we're going crazy. I bought a 30-year-old Baker's Pride oven. Okay, because they don't make them like that. We use double loaf flour. We use San Marzano tomatoes from Italy. We just use the best ingredients. We buy these pigs from this guy in Columbus Junction. They're called Mangalitsa pigs. They're these crazy European pigs. Imagine a 300-pound poodle. That's what it looks like.
They're a little fuzzy.
They're crazy. And
I know exactly what it looks like. It looks like Ike Butker.
they only eat acorns.
Ike eats more than that.
Yeah, he does.
I'll tell you what, Ike Butker is the nicest person I've probably, the nicest guy I ever met at the football field.
Yeah,
for sure.
Fair.
That guy is, what a class act, you know?
Yeah.
His mother said to me one time, she said, you know what? I've never seen Ike upset. Every morning he wakes up, he's got a smile, he's happy, he's good. She said, I've never seen a kid like that. I mean, he's just an amazing guy.
Yep.
And he was the first guy who said, oh, my God, Gray's is here. Are you kidding? Chicken lips.
Yeah, he was the first person that knew really what they were.
I promise you that he, to this day, still misses you guys dearly in the food. Yeah.
So we got to do his.
Yeah, we did his rehearsal.
Yeah, we got to do his rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
And we got to go to his wedding, which was.
I remember seeing you guys there. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really, really cool thing.
Yeah.
So we got a wedding coming up this summer. We're doing Joe Wieskamp. And
let's go.
Mackenzie.
Wheezy. Yeah. Wheezy and Mackenzie Meyer.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So well, that's the best wedding ever then, because those two are set.
And then we got the legend Bo Bauer coming up.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
I can't wait for that either, because I'm going to be there and I'm smacking that buffet, whatever we got.
Oh, it's going to be
good. Pete, you got to go back and give us the lunch and dinner stats.
Okay. All right. So when we do dinner, all right, well, okay, let's talk about chicken lips. How many lips is the team going to eat? 700. 700 lips. That's not bad. You know, so like if we did,
these are big pieces of chicken, right?
What does that look like?
Is it like half a chicken breast or a third of a chicken breast?
In that era, lips weighed 5 ounces. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, lip weighed 5 ounces. So each guy's eating 25 ounces of chicken. You know, they're taking 4 or 5 lips at a time.
But you're not just eating that.
But it's not that because you got like we do, we would do whole roast prime rib.
Yeah.
You know, like 120. Let's talk about, you know, what's a fun one is the Sunday victory meal.
That is no longer. You guys are the last people to really.
Well, COVID kind of messed things up for a little.
Yeah. Wait, you tell me they still don't do it anymore?
No, it's so much money.
Last year,
prices went
last year it was tough. So who knows where we go in the future?
No,
that's tragic.
They don't get. You guys were the last people who got. And kids would come in and go, Kim, I heard there was like lobster. crab legs. And it didn't happen.
It was just a bad year because, you know, we had COVID. Yeah. We had some really weird things.
And it's expensive. Because
I'm sure we're going to, we just do different things on Sunday. We'll get them back. But we used to do 120 pounds of lobster tails and 120 pounds of Alaskan king crab legs and 60 pounds of, big jumbo ass jumbo shrimp.
Those shrimp were fire. Where are you getting those shrimp in Iowa? I got to know.
The thing is, it's a global market anymore. We can get anything moved around anytime, anywhere. They call them tiger prawns and they actually in Thailand. So that's pretty cool.
I didn't get to participate in those cause I'm allergic to shellfish, but they were
self-diagnosed.
So here's a typical,
diagnosed now.
Really?
Actually diagnosed. This is a running joke. I for years I've been saying that I'm allergic to shellfish, and it's always just been a hunch because of anecdotal data. Officially, blood work was done a month ago. I'm allergic.
Like, did you try to eat it and you just had bad reactions?
Yeah, 2013, first year in the program, I went out after a game to.
Him and his girlfriend went to Red Lobster, and then that night he comes back to the dorm, and Kluver just progressively, hour by hour, is getting worse until it's nighttime, like 11, 12 p.m., and he's falling off the cliff. It was bad news bears.
The three instances that happened, we went to Kevin's Lake House, and one day we did a shrimp boil. In like the summer on a Saturday, same thing happened, exact same feeling. And then maybe in between there or afterwards, the third time I went to a wedding and I had bacon wrapped shrimp and I killed about seven of them as the hors d'oeuvre before the meal. Same thing happened. So
you're going to have fish, but
does it close your throat or your lips get big?
I get a crazy, very specific headache, dizzy, nauseous, and tons of vomiting.
Food poisoning, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not allergic and like it closes off my airways or anything. Body gets it out.
Can you eat regular fish still, or is it just?
Yeah. I can eat regular fish. Yep. Yeah. But
that's tragic.
Do you want to go back to another menu?
Yeah, go for it.
Absolutely.
All right. So here would be a typical dinner, let's say. So we probably do. So chicken usually comes in cases of 40 pounds. So we probably do three, maybe four cases, depending on what kind of chicken it is. So we do this beer marinade, which sounds really good right off the bat, right? Beer marinade. So you got some kind of chicken, usually 150 pounds, let's call it in that ballpark. And then we got fresh fish and we don't fool around. I mean, we get like real cod from the East Coast. We get really great fresh salmon. We bring in this fish called barramundi. Do you guys remember that one? Barramundi is.
You would remember this. You would remember.
I love shellfish. I'm not a huge fish person. Okay. Didn't partake in the fish.
This is memorable because every barramundi starts out as a male. And over time they go to female. They switch gender.
How right impressive of their lives.
Isn't that wild?
That's very 2022.
It is very 2022. So we bring in a lot of really great fresh fish. And then we always carve some kind of meat. It could be, you know, these really cool big turkey breasts we get, or it could be pork shoulders, or it could be great pork loins, or
tri-tip.
Well, we had tri-tip for dinner today.
Yeah, we did.
We had tri-tip for dinner today.
What is that big round beef thing?
Oh, that steamship round. Tyler, I sent you that picture. A steamship round is the whole butt end of the cow. It's like 90 pounds. And we would roast two of those things. And the guys would just devour it.
The carving station at the end of the line was, you always had to make sure to save room on your plate, which was sometimes hard to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you had to get back to the second plate.
I'm at the beginning of the line going, hi guys. And you're all like, what's Pete got?
What do we got back there, Kim?
Well,
right.
Plus the Hawaiian sweet rolls at the end of the. I mean, I needed. Yeah. I had to have
honey butter.
Yeah.
You know? Do you have any idea how many mashed potatoes the Iowa Hawkeye football team can eat?
I know how many I can eat.
It's unbelievable. And
I'm going to say, 500 potatoes.
Ooh, that's. I can't say it's that many. I'm going to say it's probably 90, 270. Okay, that's a ton of because you got to remember now you got chicken, you got fish, you got potatoes, you got rice or pasta,
right.
And then you got three vegetables. So you got green beans, carrots, corn, or broccoli. We always want three vegetables.
How are you guys managed? Like, are you on the phone all the time ordering more inventory? What does this look like?
Evan does all the buying.
My God.
And we got one prime vendor. It's called TPC, and it's for the Performance Food Group. So we could have Sysco or PFG. We like PFG. And so that's our primary vendor. And we order what we want and they send it in. It's really tough right now.
Yeah,
because we order stuff. We almost didn't get chicken last week for chicken lips. I mean, how do you have a chicken lip restaurant and not have lips?
Yeah.
How far out do you guys know what you're serving?
We probably do. We'll do two big orders a week. And once again, Evan does about 80% of the menu planning. But over the years, here's an interesting thing. Evan has this thing dialed in so well. He can tell you how many pans of corn we went through on the first meal we ever fed you. He's got this chart that goes all the way back. So
I was talking to Evan one time and he told me, yeah, the amount of fruit you guys eat after a practice versus when it's just like dinner or something.
Yeah.
It's like completely incomparable.
Yeah. So that helps me if I know, like, well, ask Ben, what do they have? Are they lifting today or is this after practice? Well, you know, because it's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. Huge. What's happening before? What's happening after? Yeah. And here's something that people don't know. So during camp, the team eats four meals a day, breakfast, brunch, lunch, and dinner. And then they have two snacks.
And yeah.
What's a snack?
Well, the good old days. God damn.
You got to have Chick-fil-A or a pizza or something for the snack, you know?
A snack is two Ponchero double beef burritos.
Oh, damn right, because two's a meal, one's a snack.
Exactly. I thought a snack was like some fruit and some cheese. And then I see all these burritos coming in while I'm setting up. I'm like, what?
No, snack is at least another 1,000 calories. You all grab one.
I'm like, how are they going to be hungry for me?
Right.
That's how you eat.
Another thing we did a couple times is we would make the sandwiches for the team before they got on the bus. Were you guys there for that?
Yeah. Remember the bag?
Oh yeah.
And then we had the kids we brought a bunch of bags over to the children's hospital and we had the kids decorate the bags.
Yep.
I don't know if they were there.
And I said,
yeah, you did that one time for sure.
Epic. Yeah. I mean, some were unbelievable. We had one that was the kid did it was the Melrose Graveyard. That kid had all the teams that we had beaten and they made one for Nate Stanley. And then they made one for Miguel. It was kick bombs and butts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's some really cool stuff. Yeah. But you know, it's like, it's those are the little things that it's, you know, everybody's job, everybody's life is a grind. It's just like, oh my God, we got to keep going. And just little stuff, you know, like, wow, those little guys up in that hospital got a lot harder than we do. Thank God we're down here.
Way harder.
Yeah.
Way harder.
They got to decorate bags and they like showed them the kit when you guys were getting on. They showed them like they're getting their bags right now. They filmed it. Some of the kids, girls from the hospital filmed you guys.
Oh, no kidding.
Bus with the bags.
I feel like Pete, you and Kim have a special sort of desire for that grind of life though. Like, I feel like you get like listening to you guys talk about what you do. It kind of makes me feel, it gives me that same electricity of like when we're trying to get podcasts get like last year when our podcast was going nuts and Big E was on television saying Hawks by a mill, like, and everything's popping off and we're trying
and everybody
to
get, has a flag in the background now.
Oh my God.
I gotta get one of those up in the restaurant.
Yeah. We got to get you one ASAP.
Yeah. We got to do that. I want to get it all autographed by you guys too.
Crazy.
So it might take us a little bit of time. We'll get one and then we'll float it around.
But you're right. When you finally make it, and
you get
the little things that you can give back again.
Yeah. Have you ever heard, Pete, because you wouldn't have been there. Have you ever heard about what we were served after our Big Ten championship game in 15?
No.
You would have, if you weren't in Indy, you would have driven to Indy to save us because it was abysmal. Guys helped me out, but I'm pretty sure it was simply like
a cold, wet turkey sandwich and a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Some dry ass bread.
With like an apple.
Well, you know, I'm going to jump in right there because you said something about nutritional importance. And I'm telling you what, we talked slight edge a minute ago. Just think about that. If you don't have the proper nutrition, okay, and your name is Spencer Petras, and you didn't eat enough today, and you're on the 2-yard line, and you're trying to get that thing in the end zone, and you just ran out of calories, first thing shuts down is your brain. You're not thinking.
No.
People don't understand. People don't. I think we got to really pay attention to it. At 20-year-old kids can live on calories. But I'm telling you, I think you can live better if you eat green food and vegetables and all that kind of stuff. And I think I think the better our kids eat, the better it's going to be. And I think COVID took us back about 3 steps. But I think one of the most important things going forward is the nutrition program for all the athletes at Iowa, because there's 4 ways to feed the team. 1, you're on your own. 2, eat in the cafeteria. 3, do what we're doing now, which is bring in restaurants to give you decent food. But 4 is you got your own chef who has a nutrition plan for every single kid, and they're eating for optimization. That's where it's going. And when Ohio State has that, and Alabama has that, and Georgia and Stanford and all those guys, then we got to have it too. And that's, I think.
Well, I know the first place that KF is coming to for that job.
Yeah. He's handing Pete the contract and saying, hey, listen, man.
Wow.
We got to get better.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
That's a biggie. I mean, tell you what, it is really, really hard to do. And just like it is to play, but there has to be something in the back of your head that's like, why do we get up in the morning? Why do we go do that? We do it for the guys. We're doing it for the players and the team. And what's fascinating to me is the number of different numbers that you see. We're now on our third number 43.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean? What are you wearing Josie Jewell's number?
I know.
You know,
it's your first year there. That's the one that like,
you know. I mean, who's number 45?
You know,
it ain't Drake Kulik.
No. Right. Good question. Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
But it's like all those old numbers. I still remember all your old numbers. And
it's, you know, funny to see the. It's funny to see. Oh, what are you doing with that number? You know, it just it trips us out because. And here's the other thing. You sit next to her at a football game and you got something negative to say about the football player.
It's not good.
Oh, look out.
Parking up the wrong tree there.
Ass. Oh my God.
Not good.
Oh,
I love that, Cam. I love that.
Not good.
I mean, it's like, it is so fun watching Iowa football because we know the guys.
Well, I know what you are underneath those helmets, and other people have this weird idea that you're like robots or something and that you're super human. And you make one mistake and they don't get it. I'm like, that kid is 18 years old. He's 19 years old under that helmet. You know, they don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it.
We've yelled
like
at
him. I had a fight with a guy in Indianapolis.
We've yelled at him.
Like him.
Yeah, I got to hold her back. Hey, just claw your freaking eyes out, dude. Don't say anything else.
So
she's a fun girl. Yeah.
On our show, we call those people Cheeto fingers.
I love that.
Yes.
Because they're at home, and while we're on the field playing, I mean, not us anymore, but they're at home on the couch with the bag of Cheetos, and we're, you know, the players are the ones actually there doing the work. So, you know,
and this guy had his kid there, and it was his birthday, and he was 18.
Yeah.
And I said, how would you like it if I yelled at him?
Right.
He's 18, and I yelled at him, and he was like,
turned around and told his son that he was a piece of shit.
Well, that was nice.
That was if I was nice.
Yeah, and for 20 minutes. You know, 20 minutes later, she's still chewing his ass.
You well, he goes, okay, I get it now. Okay, I understand. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, like.
Right. It's so easy. But that's the way it is in life. Life is like that. You know, no matter what you do, it's the rule of thirds. If you put yourself out there, 1/3 of the people on the planet are going to hate your guts.
Yeah.
1/3 of the people are going to love you. And 1/3 of the people are going to go, I don't care.
I don't care. I don't care.
You know, that's a rule of thirds. And you got to get used to that.
Yeah.
You know, Joe
Labus. It takes some balls, especially these days, to even put yourself out there.
Joe Labus and his mom were at Gray's last night to eat some pizza and get some stuff. And we loaded them up with a ton of stuff to take back home. And, you know, here's a kid from Cleveland whose dream is to be the college quarterback. And his mom knows, hey, right now, he's perfect.
He's a superhero because he hasn't
thrown one interception yet.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's what Brian Ferentz says. Throw your first pass. Watch out. You are now not a hero.
You're not a target.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's you got to get comfortable with that. But that's a metaphor for life. You know, and see, that's the other thing that so like we get a lot of the athletes at the New Grace. So the New Grace is a pizza joint with chicken lips and a quick serve. So you walk in, you got three ways to play. You can order and pick it up. If you say you want it at 5 o'clock, you walk in, you grab it, it's on the counter, you're gone. Or you walk in and go, we got six kinds of pizza. You say, give me a slice of that. Give me a slice of that. Give me four chicken lips. Give me some mac and cheese, and you're gone. Okay. So Caitlin Clark, big chicken lip eater, loves chicken lips. She came in one day, ate six chicken lips. The next night, shot 59 points.
Now we know. Now we know.
Now we know what her fuel was.
Chicken lips build champions.
Eat good, feel good, play good. Oh, that's Graze's first T-shirt. You guys need to make those and sell
You've been saying that forever.
I've been saying it forever.
He's been saying that forever.
The baseball team wins the Big Ten. I want it. Oh, God, I wish I had the damn shirts. So we got to do it. Monica Cinzano, you know, the big center for the Hawks.
Center for the women, yep.
She'll kick your ass. Another big chicken lip fan. the baseball team are probably pound for pound. What's the kid's name? Peyton?
Peyton.
No.
12 lips at a time.
Okay. Holy! They eat a lot better than you would, a lot more than you would think.
Well, the baseball guys eat more per capita because they don't get fed very often.
They get black card like once a week.
So we still feed those guys. But here's what I want to say. What I want to say is, I am so impressed by the Division I athletes at Iowa. The kids are amazing, you know, and now we're going into NIL season and that whole thing. God only knows what's going to happen with that. But these kids are awesome kids. And if you're watching the show and you're an Iowa fan, remember that.
Yeah.
Remember that. Imagine that's your kid. The question isn't, did the kid catch the pass? Did we win the game? Did we win the championship? That's great if we can do that. That's icing on the cake. But the most important thing is we gotta love and support those kids. Those kids are amazing kids. They're living their dreams and they're getting their hearts wrung out. If you think you're upset because a kid dropped the pass, imagine how sad that kid is. His heart's broken and he's never going to forgive himself for 50 years. I'm still beating the shit out of myself for things I did when I was 20.
Yeah.
You know, everybody...
To this day, there's still plays that kind of haunt me.
Yeah, it haunts
you.
It haunts you.
It's a great program. Look at the coaching staff at Iowa and how much tenure you got there. You know,
it's different. I mean, we talk about it all the time.
I mean, look at Terry and Tom Brands. I mean, those guys are some different dudes, man.
Yeah,
and I love those guys. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom Brands brought Greg Stiltner into lunch at Gray's one day. Okay. And Greg is the guy who built the hotel across the street. Okay. At the Marriott. And Greg was telling me a story about, he's going through the Gray's lunch buffet with Tom Brands, and Tom Brands going, oh, that's baked potato soup. You got to try that. That's amazing. And then this is tortilla. I like that one too, but it's a little spicy for me. And then he goes, this salad's good, but that one's the one you want to get. And these green beans, you got to eat these. It's the best thing for you, man. Great vitamins. And these things are called chicken lips. You got to try this. This is your new favorite food. And these little burgers here, they're really kind of spicy. And I really like them, but I got to take the bread off. Okay. Here's
Tom. Oh, man. I missed
walking Greg Stiltner through it, just praising every, telling him he knows our food inside, up and down. Tom Brands. And this is a guy we catered at his house. Okay. We feed the wrestlers maybe once or twice a year. And he's got two things in his basement, Tom Brands. Can you guess what they might be?
I'm going to say wrestling mat and Olympic medal.
Ooh, I didn't see the medal. Scale.
A scale.
That is one serious dude. I watched him eat. Here's what Tom Brands did. You want a lesson in how to eat? Here's what you do.
A wrestler.
So he goes, he takes a plate and he puts rice on one side, pasta on the other. And then on top of this, he puts salmon. He likes it medium rare. And then we had sliced filet mignon that day. He puts that on top and then he buries it in as much broccoli as three people can eat.
And KF does that too.
And then he starts at the top. He eats the broccoli, eats all the meat, eats all the fish. He takes one bite of the pasta, one bite of the rice, and he throws it out. I said,
there you go.
He goes, tip of the spear, baby. I said, do you like green beans? He goes, no, I like broccoli. Why? Because broccoli is the most nutritiously dense vegetable.
Yep.
Why would you eat? Why would you, if you're going to get 100% out of broccoli, why would you ever eat a green bean and get a 93? You're talking about a guy who probably weighs 140 pounds and has for 40 years. And
it's all
and
muscle.
He doesn't waver. He doesn't deviate from boom, you know, and I'm only going to eat the biggest bang for my buck. I mean, that's amazing.
That makes me feel good because I only eat broccoli as a vegetable too. It's only only vegetable I eat.
I mean, I see on the Facebook, you know, and you're fit as shit and you're working out all the time. And I'm really amazed and proud of you.
I look way better than when I was coming through the line. I'll tell you what, the grays.
You look different. You
I would not be able to. You guys would be trouble for me right now. Like bad. It would be bad.
You just have to pass all the middle and go to the vegetables and the salad.
I would have
discipline. And the protein.
You have all of what I need. You just have more than what I need.
Yeah, well, that's why cookies. We do so
can
much.
We get the recipe for them cookies.
Yeah, the cookies at the end of the line.
Oh yeah.
That I was never missing weight because I had six of those cookies on my plate.
I saw him take six cookies and then take four home to one day.
Fruit pizza, Josie Jewel's fruit pizza. Remember we used to have that?
That fruit pizza was crazy.
That was the Outlaw's fruit pizza. He's the one who asked for that.
Oh yeah. Man. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the Outlaw gets what the Outlaw wants.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
That's a serious dude there. He called me one day, says, hey, is there any way you could mail me some chicken lips? And and I said, well, where are you? Are you in Denver or are you in Decorah? He goes, I'm in Decorah. It's my wife's birthday tomorrow. And it was a Saturday when he called me. And I said, well, Kim and I are off tomorrow. We're going to drive him up to you.
He goes, no. I was like, no, we're coming to Decorah.
We brought him up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You hand-delivered the Outlaw.
And he showed us where he wants to build his dream, you know, farm over.
He's doing it.
It was amazing. We had the best Sunday. I had the best Sunday ever. It was amazing. It was so fun.
You know, for us, it's like, I feel blessed and lucky because we get to hang around with people who are that awesome.
Yeah.
Think about that.
We do road trips all the time.
That's why we do this podcast is because us three suck.
Yes.
And we just want to talk to the guys that we played with that are way awesome. Way more awesome.
Everybody motivates you. You know what?
Abraham, you did not suck. You wouldn't be an Iowa Hawkeye. If you suck.
Listen to this. Abraham Lincoln once said, I really despise that guy. I must get to know him better. Because the more you know somebody, the harder it is to hate him. Because all of a sudden you find out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, right. Man. That's good.
Yeah. No, it really is because, you know, I don't like that guy. Yeah, well, guess what? You talk to him for 2 minutes, you find out, hey, that guy knows my cousin. Hey, we're friends. Oh, my God. You know, we have so many great things going that we get stuck on these stupid little problems, you know? And it's like, you know what? We all believe in 99. We're all Iowa Hawkeyes, all believe 99% of the same thing. We're all made of 99% of our DNA, the same thing. We got a couple little quirks where we disagree on things. But one thing I've always noticed come game day, everybody's going to kick ass. And that whole team is one solid unit. And I love it.
Yep.
I mean, I could sit here and talk for hours. I mean, I don't know how long you guys want to go with this. We're probably going to have to bring you on for another
episode. You're going to have to edit it already.
No. This is all perfect. You two got anything after sitting there listening to Pete talk?
I just didn't even get a chance
to say anything, Drake, barely.
I got to say one thing. I got to turn around. You said that you got a chance to get to know some awesome people. You two are truly two of the most phenomenal human beings I've ever met in my entire life. It was so lucky of us to be able to get to know you as our time as players and get fed by you and still keep that relationship to these days. And it's I'm super appreciative of everything that you guys have done for us.
If you need us, you know where we are.
When Kevin gets married in 12 years, he will have you cater.
Yes. Well. And Drake.
Hey, man, we're there.
Like, I don't know.
We are there.
You too, Drake.
We catered a wedding at the Air Force football stadium. We did Chris Kirk's. The rehearsal dinner for 160 people, all Air Force pilots and cadets and all those guys. Chris flies F-35s. We got a flag in the restaurant that he flew over the stadium in.
I think they were trying to
a couple of years ago. And so we go anywhere. It doesn't matter where you want. We did Randy Weingard's wedding in his backyard in Scottsdale. Kim and I, we get on a plane, we bring nothing.
Scottsdale's the shit, Pete. I might have you come down to my backyard in Queen Creek just for fun.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We'll be down there.
We'll be down there.
We'll be down there. We can do it.
Legends.
We got you guys. Whenever you need us, you just call us.
Well, I think
if you two aren't, I mean, you guys are as much as part of the Iowa football team as anyone who's ever else walked through those doors. It's
Bump Elliott Award winners.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, we did.
I was going to bring that up.
What did you think about that?
What did you guys think about that?
I started crying. I was in shock.
We were honored to be able to go to the banquet.
Yeah, I was just honored. They asked us to go.
Like, oh my God, we get to go. Wow, that's really cool. Yeah. Look at us.
No idea that
we were. We better get dressed up.
We set you up.
Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing.
It was amazing.
So for those that are unaware, just a little detail behind that. At the end of the year, we obviously have
the Bob Elliott Award's a big deal.
Yeah, we have the team banquet all the guys get their awards, and it's a special. It's a celebration of the season and kind of culmination. And every year there's the Bump Elliott Award, and I wish, Kevin, we see your freaking awards, dude. We get it. And Kevin, yeah. Okay, so I'll add that in there. Kevin Ward every year would give like six speeches, and that was annoying. And then, and every year there's a Bump Elliott, and I don't know the exact description of the Bump Elliott Award, but Pete and Kim.
It's someone who's like outside the program that makes an extraordinary contribution to the program.
Yeah,
that's very good.
Yes, that about sums up.
Yeah.
And that's why we have Kevin on the podcast.
he knows all the awards. He's won them all.
Right, exactly. And so Pete and Kim won that in what year?
Our second year,
17.
So it would have been our senior year. Yeah. Yep. And that was really cool. That was really cool. So.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm standing up at the podium. I get to talk to the whole room. There's 700 people. Like, I can't believe you guys gave me the mic.
I know. I bet Kim was nervous.
Huh? Oh, I was. I was like, oh, God. But I was crying. So I wasn't.
Yeah. You guys deserve it.
It's a testament to the fact that if you go in there and you do your best at something, a worthy organization is going to recognize that and hold you up and praise you and thank you. That's what happens at Iowa.
That's football. A good boss, you know?
That's leadership.
Sure. Yep, that's leadership.
That's amazing.
Believe me, you guys' efforts are more than recognized and more than appreciated. And
awesome.
And play a significant role in actually.
We're just so lucky to have you feeding the hogs to this day.
Yeah. So what can we do for you guys?
Okay. Well,
first of all, if you guys are actually trying to open like this, order our ingredients or order our stuff and we will send it to you.
Yeah.
We will be your guinea pig.
All right, good. Let's do that.
Test any and every recipe that you want.
All right. You got it. You got it. Because I think it's a big thing. People don't, I don't want to go sit in a restaurant for 2 hours, get shitty service and have to tip 20% to somebody who doesn't even, who despises me. Who's bored by me. And I'm serious. It's a big deal.
And it's good that you guys will tell us the truth. That's the most important thing. You won't hurt our feelings.
And then once we taste test and you guys have the idea, you know, saturated down to the perfect polished product, then we'll promote the shit out of it on this show. Yes. I mean, I'll only talk about it for an entire hour every other week.
I always go listen to you guys. And then I tape it right when you guys say, hey, well, what's your favorite meal? And I tape it and I play it to Pete. And he's like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That you guys say that and you ask that question. It means a lot.
Yeah.
It does.
It's true. It's true. Pete, I'm going to get you a flag. I mean, both of you, I'm going to get you a flag for the place. And
yeah, let's do that.
And,
yeah, let's do that.
We will bring you back on here at some point because there's like, I've got a whole list of questions that I didn't even get to, but we're going to respect your time for now. So
I knew you wouldn't get it. I knew you wouldn't get it.
Hey, you know what? You guys, every now and then you're going to hit, oh shit, we don't have a guest this week. Just call us. We're in.
You might have to become a regular because that's been
fill a hole. If you need somebody to fill a hole, we're in. You
know? Clearly.
And clearly you don't even have to have any questions. You can just let him roll.
Absolutely. That's gold for us. That's gold for us. But, thank you guys so much for coming on here. Seriously.
Thanks for having us. It's
a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
We love you.
Thanks,
you.
To the Walk-On Army listening at home, this is episode 323 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. There's no way that you were not entertained for that 70 minutes on the show. We'll be back on Thursday. As always, thanks for tuning into the show, and we'll talk to you next time. Peace.